This is a replay of the Thursday night, August 28th, WGN show. We started at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, and I am absolutely not up to par. Neither is my equipment, by the way. I have a little problem, and you know, one of those things where you keep meaning to get around to it, and you just don't. I'm not sure what it is, but occasionally, and this is a fairly new board, too, and it's a nice board, but the volume will be just absolutely nothing until I hit it as hard as I can. That's right. Beat it up, and it comes back to life. Something's wrong there. But in any event, other than an aching hand, I'm surviving that. But sadly, I mentioned this last night that it might be the case. But yeah, Gary Burbank passed away today. And you know, even when you expect it, and I'm sure in your life you might have had that someone close to you that they knew that you knew that they were going to go, and you prepared yourself for it. And no matter how you prepare yourself for it, you're just not, as far as that is. And so, yeah, now we have our three. Ron Gregory at WoWo, who I only knew through Carol, actually. Carol Ford, who was my closest friend lifelong. Yeah, I will not get over that. And now Gary Burbank. And I'm very remorseful about Gary because we had been very close and worked together in Louisville over 50 years ago. And had wonderful times, truly wonderful times. And you know how it is. You kind of go to different markets, you grow apart. We'd talk, you know, in spates, you know, regularly for a little while and then not for a few years. But I thought back of it and I thought, you know, I probably, after Louisville, saw this guy maybe once every 5 years. And that was absolutely my loss because he was one of the funniest human beings on and off the air, and also one of the nicest people all the way around. And what an interesting life on and off the air, too. So rest in peace, Gary Burbank, but I'll deal with it. But we'll talk about a variety of things, including, you know, for a while I had a hobby of kind of listening to and categorizing televangelists. Yeah, I even got a TV so I could see them all, you know. And actually, someone that I wound up living with, we got together originally because we both were watching the televangelists and doing hot clocks about when they would beg. And so so it was that that I had a certain interest in, and you know, let's face it, this is not to knock religion. This isn't about religion at all. This is... And it isn't even really in the name of stealing in the name of the Lord, but this is just so over the top in so many ways. And every now and then you get a story and you say, I didn't think you could top that. Well, we have David Taylor, and David Taylor, he's an apostle because he tells you he is. Federal authorities arrested him yesterday along with his executive director, and they were arrested. For allegedly, of course, not proven yet, forced labor, money laundering conspiracy, a 10-count indictment, including Plan B, Well, yeah, of course, you know that that there's going to be sex in this somewhere. And so it was that in addition to the forced labor and the conspiracy to commit the money laundering, there was the issue with some unwanted pregnancies. Well, that's when women were forced to take Plan B, an emergency contraceptive drug. So meanwhile, the Department of Justice is going after this as combating human trafficking. And, you know, I read this read this six ways, and I thought, you know, I don't really grasp the depth of this, I don't think. He had a call center, and of course, you know, that was staffed by forced labor too, of course, that solicited donations, absolutely, and solicited believers, so to speak, and victims were forced to work at the call center, and they were forced to act as this guy's armor bearers. So what's an armor bearer? It's a personal servant to this guy, as far as that goes, fulfilling his demands around the clock. You can imagine what the demands are if we were talking about Plan B. And controlled every aspect of their daily lives. Victims slept at the call center facilities or in the ministry house. Back to Plan B. And they were not permitted to leave without permission. And so the deal was the armor bearers would transport women from ministry houses, airports, and other locations to his location. For whatever reason, but to ensure that they would take Plan B. And apparently they're also accused of setting unobtainable fundraising goal for the armor bearers at the call centers and would punish them when they failed to achieve them. That's minor compared to the rest of this stuff. And apparently, what was the punishment? Public humiliation, additional work, food, shelter, and other restrictions, psychological abuse, forced repentance, I don't want to know how that worked, sleep deprivation, physical assaults, and threats of divine judgment. That's right, the Lord will give you sickness, accidents, and eternal damnation. And, of course, if you believe any of this, why not believe all of it, I guess? And I do wonder, where did they get these people? Meanwhile, from his donations, he purchased an $8.3 million mansion in Tampa, 28,893 square foot main house with a 2,620 square foot guest house. And got the money from Miami Beach based Crosby Capital. He got a mortgage for $4.9 million. But that was, you know, just half of the amount. But yeah, you'd figure that maybe somebody would notice that he was making an awful lot of money while they were working like slaves. And apparently, one of the things that happened was an ex-wife. Yeah, boy. And actually, she's been an ex-wife since 2019, at least. That's when she spoke up saying that he was engaging in multiple extramarital affairs. Well, so what's new about that, right? Got me pregnant before we were married. All right, so she also explained why she decided to speak up. She's not against the church. She's not against scripture. She's against people who are really living a blasphemous life about it. She's against the abuse and manipulative behavior of pastors who are operating contrary to scripture. And so we're teaching people it's okay to sin. We're teaching people it's okay to live unrighteously. But God is going to bring judgment to the household of God. All right, so she goes on about that too. And and they said, we're preaching in the pulpit and we're sleeping with our members. There's a country song in that somewhere. Yeah, we're sleeping in the pulpit and we're preaching in the pulpit and we're abusing our sheep. Yeah. All right, so on and on it goes. And so among the guy's feats, self-proclaimed feats, being a self-proclaimed apostle and all, he raised a woman from the dead. So he says he was deposed in a Michigan court in 2016, not for that, no law against him raising from the dead, but financial corruption. So what he did on the stand is he pretended to be confused by the attorney's questions and made pitiful excuses for his frivolous purchases. Well, you know, like the 28,000 square foot house, I guess. So that's the latest on there. And I thought, not that much different from so many others. But Plan B was a unique little twist on this. And the armor bearers and their duties was a little out there, too. So, yeah, watch what you believe in, would you? That's right. Not telling you not to believe, just saying, you know, have some litmus test. Yeah, before you run away to your own Jonestown. All right, so 888-876-5593. And by the way, Bob, who is taking care of business and master control and keeping me in line, and as only he can, yeah, he'll cut me right off when I screw up, and I will screw up. But he gave me that story and several others. He saves me more than you would know. Because now, sadly, that Carol is no longer with us, there's nobody feeding me stories and doing all the kind of things that I should be doing. But, of course, you know, good to me is good enough. All right, so we'll pick it up with Dave in Forest City and Ruth in Gurnee. And you, too, coming up on WGN Radio.
Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I gotta be me, I gotta be me. What else can I be but what I am? I want to live, not merely survive. And I won't give up this dream of life that keeps me alive. I gotta be me, I gotta be me. The dream that I see makes me what I am. That faraway prize, a world of success, is waiting for me if I.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and of course that's Sammy Davis Jr., 1968 on Reprise. It was Laura in Des Plaines who requested that. I gotta be me. All right, well, happy to play it, and several of your other requests. And then, as usual, I have a list of requests. In some cases, I have absolutely no idea who requested them, but you'll probably remember if it was you, and maybe we'll get to that tonight. All right, so there you go, 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And so first in line was Ruth and Gurnee. All right, so tell me about this lucky charm.
Okay, wow, great way to phrase that. I want to make comments about what you started off with, but I can't waste my time because if I run out of energy, I have to charge and then call back at another time to finish the conversation. However, let me think here. The stories that come in through you and are so well-liked, whether they be complaints or justifiable things, and you set the correct mode when it goes public, and then like the lady with the mold and the... landowner, whatever it was, you know.
Yeah.
My bet is that they're going to straighten that out because it's gone public. You know, she brought something out there, and she's going to come out looking like the rat that she is.
I think she's moving, and I think actually, Ruth, that it's a really good thing she's moving.
That's the best thing of all. You're absolutely right. Yeah. But this one isn't going to get away with it. So people get away with things. The top of conversation in the beginning, this guy got away with it to the tune of millions of dollars. So I want to go there. I don't want to put negative on my radar because it takes away from me being able to heal. But anyway, your callers always enjoy unique stories. So this is one that I chuckled with Jim from Richmond because he wanted to win the lottery and do the hockey league. And I love hearing things about what people do or what they want to do or they wish to do. So my thing for this one right now is the St. Patrick's Raffle from Wadsworth. By the way, Alley Cat.
Mm-hmm.
There was a calendar in my mailbox the very day that you played the song, and I fell asleep.
Ah.
I fell asleep, and that doesn't happen to me very often. I guess it's my St. Joseph, sleeping St. Joseph near me recently. I fell asleep, and I turned on the radio, and you made the thing of Ruth in Premonition, and there went the song, and I turned it off. I didn't listen to it.
Okay.
So it was interesting. There was a cat rescue 2526. With cat pictures from all over the country and the names and their history. And there's one from Wadsworth, Illinois also. One of the cats was from a rescue right down the street from me. I actually know where it is and what the lady's been doing with all her acreage and land and lots of cats. So anyway, back to the St. Patrick's raffle. So I started buying this $100 raffle ticket. The first year, I was at the homeless shelter, and I wanted to split with four other people, $25 a person. So, no, I couldn't find anybody, even people who had jobs. The following year, I did mine for $100, and then I continued doing it when it got to be really hard for me. I just put in a prayer, don't have it on St. Patrick's Day. They started having it in May, and that my budget much better. Below the poverty level was my income, but was $400 a month. An annuity at that time when I first started years and years ago. So for many years, I would go to get this $100 raffle ticket. My first Social Security ticket check was 500 raffle tickets worth out of that extra bonus amount of money I had. Just all kinds of raffles through the years, 200, 300, walking down the Highway 45 as far as the bus would go to Grand Avenue, asking people at the gas station, could I get a ride to St. Pat's? 45 minutes go by, I start walking. Along comes a guy, and he says, do you need a ride? And I says, yes, thank you, and please, I'm going to the raffle at St. Pat's. He said, yeah, I'm a member there. He was from Anthony Buick. It might have been St. Anthony himself. The Lord was not going to let me go buy these raffle tickets for kids in a school and make me walk the rest of the way to get there down a highway. So back to my wanting to win the $100,000. That's the top prize. It's $150,000. So I started with several years of St. Raphael because they were rebuilding the huge church from Chicago. So I tried to get that to be a winner. I tried to get the Leo Christian Academy to be a winner. Just all different people that I – and this year it was like pulling teeth to get somebody to go and get two tickets, two $100 tickets. So I got that accomplished, and then I offered a ticket to another person, a $100 ticket, and they said they didn't have time to go and get it.
I'm running out of time because Bob will absolutely cut me off.
Well, as fast as I can on this.
So hang on. You're going to have to hang on. I can't change time. Stay where you are.
Okay.
All right, because I know I'll be gone in seconds right here on WGN Radio.
I'll touch a star when your lips touch mine, the first I see in the twilight time. I'll touch a star shining in the sky, but it won't shine.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Terry Stafford of Suspicion fame. Yeah, now you know why he was a one-hit wonder. That's the follow-up, I'll Touch a Star, 1964, like Suspicion, on Crusader. Yeah, I forget who requested it. My apology, but I know if you did, you probably remember it, obviously better than me. So back to Ruth.
Hello.
Yes, that's
you're
your cue. Yes,
okay.
You're wrapping it up.
Now,
I know you are.
Now, we're at the purchase of the two tickets, and they wouldn't put other person's names on it. They put my name on it. Okay. I settle for that, and then I'll do what I would have done if one of those tickets would have won. But the third ticket, I called up on the phone and purchased it with my credit card. And that third ticket, and in lieu of Mini No Place, what's been in the news yesterday, today, about the school, this is interesting as far as no good deed goes unnoticed. The third ticket was for the former pastor of Old St. Patrick's, Father Wall. He's head of Catholic Relief Worldwide for Indigenous everywhere. He's got things that they're doing with, you know, the indigenous. So I had his name put down that I thought $100,000 for all of the $600,000 that's raised through those raffle tickets every year. What a blessing it is for each person who pays $100 for that ticket. I'd rather invest in that than the lottery ticket.
So did you win?
I got a good story about lottery. Okay, let me finish. So Jack Wall gets
me. We need cliff notes, really. Cliff notes, not details.
All right. Well, if the $100,000 and he had won it, can you imagine the blessings that would have came out? Well, this is what I wanted for me. Did I win it? I wanted to get my knees fixed. I wanted to get a relative's house that's falling off of a hill from the floodplain. And
it's a yes or no answer. Did you win it?
What?
Did you win it? That's yes or no.
No, but I wanted to tell what I was going to do with it.
Yeah, but you didn't win, so you're not going to do it.
Well, how do you know that it won't come in another way? No good deed goes unnoticed.
All right, well, let me know if it does.
Okay, wait a minute. This person's house is falling off of the hill, slipping out. They need a retaining wall. So I was going to pay for that and something else. Whatever it was, is if my ticket had won, I would have had it spent. But I wonder who does win and what they do with it. Now, we know Jim would do a hockey league on a lottery ticket. I would do a little boys, you know, baseball, little league. Mm-hmm. I would do, and I would have it named Senor Taco or Senor Tacos, and I would have mariachi play every time the kids went out onto the field. And when their other competing team was playing, the mariachi would play for them. So that's what I would do with a lottery ticket. But I think it's interesting that you have two callers that want to do something with kids. All right, that's it. I don't get to get any songs. I got a list to request songs, but I never do that. I never get enough time. So anyway, I sent it out there now. Good thoughts,
all
good
right.
ideas.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, for the most part, lottery winners are not a lucky bunch. Now, I will say the stories that you read about this are overblown and not entirely right. We read 70% of them go broke and all this. Actually, you'll see that in some articles, but when people look at it in terms of not just taking what's in the headlines, but do a little research on it, it's more like 30% as far as that goes. But a lot of people do lose a lot. And this gets into, I'm sure there are PhD dissertations on it in the psych ward, so to speak, whereby what people envision on, you know, I won't say it's a spiritual plane, but, you know, in your unconsciousness, if you will, you get what you deserve, you get what you think you're worth and all that. There are some fascinating studies along this line, and I'm not elucidating it well at all, as far as that goes. But one of them actually looked at car salesmen, a much maligned lot, sometimes worthwhile for reasons that we would agree, but other times not so much. But what they discovered is that to a good degree, what salesmen believed their success rate would be is exactly what they got. And tracking the sales day to day, that if the salesman achieved his monthly goal within 3 days, usually never made another sale that month. On the other hand, if a salesman was lacking up until the last 3 days, suddenly he made the sales. So it's almost like a preconceived notion of what you're worth, if you will, and that's what you get. So as I say, I did not elucidate it well, but you can probably look it up and see it. But yes, a lot of people don't do well with the lottery for a variety of reasons, but it's nowhere near 70%. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we're going to get to Dave from Forest City, Iowa. We talked to him last night and ran out of time, invited him to call back. And so I believe we're going to talk about intellectual fraud. Yeah, that describes so many people. All right, now, want to talk about the Sea Crane Company again. Yeah, because $10 off, and they don't do that often. That's the CC Wi-Fi 3. Now, if you like me, obviously you're a radio fan or you wouldn't be listening to this show. And you're probably aware of what a Wi-Fi radio will do for you, because you know there are tens of thousands of streams online. Yeah, virtually every radio station in the world. Thank God they didn't have this in 1958. I wouldn't have left the bedroom. Yeah, would have been slide a steak under the door every now and then, and I'll just sit here and listen. Well, you may not be able to hear what you were hearing in 1958, but you virtually can hear every radio station that's on the air and a ton of other things as well. And there's no better way to do that than with a good Wi-Fi radio. What makes it a good Wi-Fi radio? Well, for one thing, that it's easy to use and intuitive, and you don't have to, you know, strain yourself to read the instruction manual and all that. So, yeah, simplicity of use is one thing. The other thing is that you want it to have great reception. And you're saying, wait a minute, it's Wi-Fi radio, it doesn't have reception. Oh, yes, it does, to your wireless access point, your wireless router, something that will connect seamlessly to your router and not drop and all that kind of stuff. Now, after that, all the bells and whistles, you want it to sound good. And, you know, the CC Wi-Fi 3 ticks off all those boxes and more. It's terrific. You'll get virtually everything that's out there from all over the world. You don't sign up for an app. There's no microphone. There's no ads on any screen. There's no monthly fee. And it's got a full-size remote control. So superior reception, ease of use, everything you would want to hear. And it sounds good. So check them out. CCRadio.com. CCRadio.com. Take a look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. Now, when you do, remember right now, $10 off, and that doesn't happen very often. Now, a lot of people say, well, yeah, but it's probably more complicated than I want. But they've got the best customer service, and that's where it really is just light years ahead of any other competitor, because if you've got any questions, they answer in the United States of America 24 hours a day. They'll walk you through it and set up. It'll literally like having your best friend next to you setting it up if you're having any problems whatsoever. So that phone number, and by the way, if you want to call now, got a few questions, ask them. They'll answer. You can order by phone as well. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, and I assume if you want a Wi-Fi radio, you can go online, go to ccradio.com right now, ccradio.com. Take a look at that CC Wi-Fi 3 and get $10 off if you order it this week. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. WGN Radio. There you have it. The Four Tops, and Linda and Richland Park wanted to hear that, and happy to play it. 1966 on Tamla. And you know, I've got Dave from Forest City coming. We were talking about classical music last night, and I confessed how much I absolutely detest it. And I was thinking, we were talking about, you know, Carol, sadly. My best friend Carol Ford is now no longer with us. And that was one area where we did not agree. I knew nothing about classical music and wanted to know nothing about classical music and didn't want to be in the room when it was on, period. On the other hand, Carol knew it so well that one of the channels she worked at in Sirius was the Classical Music Channel. She knew all this stuff. I knew none of it. But years ago, decades ago, in New York, we happened across the overnight show on WQXR, and there was this woman, Namit. Namit did the show. And I guess it makes sense now after hearing that WQXR was looking for people who spoke an array of languages. Namit was raised in New York, originally from Cairo. But what transfixed Carol and I both was not that she was playing classical music. God knows that didn't enthrall me. Her accent literally changed. I mean, on any given week, she was completely different. And, you know, it got to the point where we were basically taking bets on, you know, where she would sound like she was from tonight. And so, you know, when I was thinking about when Dave, last night when we were talking classical music, I thought, I'm going to look it up and see. Namit is still on the air there. So God love her, and I'll bet you she's still coming up with 11 different accents. All right, so Dave in Forest City, welcome back to WGN Radio. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so we left off with the great intellectual fraud.
Yes, now, and by the way, normally when you think of intellectual fraud this day, you're basically talking about intellectual property theft, but I don't think that's what you're talking about.
No, this is a concept by Nassim Nicholas Taleb, the currency. He's a very successful currency trader, and he taught at New York University. He taught in the financial engineering department. And so I follow him a lot. And so the great intellectual fraud is according to Taleb, that the people in the finance department and many of the people that so-called experts use the wrong model. And the wrong model is the normal distribution. They use the normal distribution. And so, according to him, that's wrong. But more people are more interested in maybe, you know, popular talk.
Well, no, I'm willing to talk about whatever you want to talk about, but you lost me. To me, it was 18 words in search of a sentence. So what exactly are we talking about?
Yeah. Okay. The great intellectual fraud is the big mistakes that the financial people in the finance department make. And you remember long-term capital management?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that went bust, and they were people from the finance department, academics.
I think what you're trying to do here is elucidate what's in the black swan. And, you know, basically it was the misuse of the Gaussian bell curve and other mathematical models to manage financial risk. And so, yes, I am absolutely aware of black swan events. And so, you know, one of the frauds, of course, is overconfidence. Provides a false sense of security. The bell curve also ignores large deviations. And, of course, it's not properly taking into account of financial engineering. So, yeah, I'm aware of this.
Okay. So you would be doing something differently. Say, so according to Taleb, you should put 10% of your money in risky assets and 90% of your money in treasury bills.
Here's a problem with saying it just as you're saying it. Everyone's situation is different. Now, of course, if you are sitting there at 75 years old, you are going to have a much more conservative portfolio than if you're at 25 years old. You know, the equation is really simple, which is the more risk, the greater reward potential. But, you know, the risk is enough that if you're in a situation where you can't bear the risk, you don't want to go for the reward. But I don't like the idea of anything that is a set model because everyone's situation varies.
Yeah. Okay. but you do so at your own peril.
Well, you're always doing, anytime you are investing, there is a modicum of risk, period, including the risk inherent of doing nothing and just letting inflation eat away. I mean, there's no risk-free discussion here. It's just type of risk and amount of risk. And, you know, what you really get into also is what do you have to do with returns? Forget the individual. What do you do when you are a fiduciary, like you're an insurance company or you're a pension fund and, you know, you're looking at the T-bill rate and that is not going to pay off what you got to pay out every month. How risky do you have to get and what happens then? And there's a lot of worthwhile discussions, but it's never black and white and it's not an easy answer.
Yeah. But I think for the individual investor, it's rule of thumb.
Hang on. We'll talk a little more about it. Not much, a little more about that. And, I still respect everybody's individual differences as long as you know what you're doing. All right, so we'll talk about that and whatever's on your mind. And, oh, man, have we got Driver of the Year in Toronto. All that coming up on WGN Radio. Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I think it was James on the South Side who wanted to hear Shake Your Groove Thing and happy to play that. That's Peaches and Herb. Several Peaches, one Herb. That's the way it worked. Yeah, Herb Fame. I think his name was Herb Feemster, actually. He started out in Anacostia in D.C. and, usual singing in church and all that. And he met Van McCoy. That'll do it, won't it? And he was signed to Date. And Date was a subsidiary of Columbia. And his first Peaches was Francine Barker. Francine Day was her stage name. And Peaches actually was her nickname. So that's how they came up with Peaches. But she only did that for a couple of years. She got out of it. And so he comes up with another Peaches. And that was Marlene Mack. She actually sang on Sally Goes Round the Roses. And there wasn't much to say about that. And then in 1970, Herb said, I'm going to hang it up. I'm going to become a cop. And he goes to the police academy in D.C. And joined the police department. And that lasted for a few years. About 76, he comes back and he says, you know, I think I'm going to do this. So let's find another Peaches, you know, because after all, by this time, Marlene Mack is long gone. So he meets Linda Green. And I think actually he met her through Van McCoy. And he said, well, that's your Peaches. And she actually was the most successful of any of the Peaches. And she was from D.C. as well. And they did 7 albums, including stuff released only in foreign countries and all that. But, of course, Shake Your Groove Thing went gold and peaked at number 5. But it was the single after that. And, Freddie Perren, who was producing them at the time, came up with Reunited. And that was a triple platinum record for them. So meanwhile, that's good enough, except here comes 1986, and Herb feels like he's going to get back in the cop shop some way. So he joins the Marshals Service. deputized court security officer at the Court of Appeals for Veteran Claims, and he stayed there. In fact, when he rebranded the group again in 1990, he needed a fourth Peaches at that time because, again, Linda Green said, nah, not gonna do that. She actually raised a family and got into gospel music. So he finds the fourth Peaches, Patrice Hawthorne, and actually from Big Break, a TV show. But he continued to work for the Court of Appeals and the Marshal Service. So that was it. There's a real problem, like many artists, where the one thing that Herb didn't get was royalties. And so there were some lawsuits and all that that kind of fell. And he got enough from that he was then able to leave the court, focus solely on his music career. And he could do that, but I don't think he did right away. I think he was banking the money and continued enjoying the work. So that's the deal on Herb. And I think together there have been 7 Peaches. The last one was Wanda Tolson, I think. So there you have it. All right. So we're talking to Dave in Forest City, Iowa, about investing. And I do like Taleb's theories. Although one of the things in that book, and you probably read it, The Black Swan, is he was talking about how you could count on one thing, and that was like Fannie Mae. And I thought, whoops. But apart from things like that, the reality is that every investor is different to a degree, and I don't think you can come up with a one size fits all model.
Yeah, am I back on?
Oh yes, you are.
Okay, so so you mentioned the Black Swan, and a black swan is a subset of rare events. So,
not only rare. The deal of black swan is it's something you can't envision because you don't know it exists.
Right, but there are other rare events that you can.
Of course, there are.
Envision. So, what you want to do is protect yourself from all rare events, and because the financial distributions are fat-tailed, you need a tail hedge, and you do that if you invest in an index fund. You protect yourself by buying put options, and when you buy put options, my opinion is that you have to watch these daily, and you have to readjust the amounts as the market moves. So
yeah,
if
you're willing to do that, and most quote-unquote investors are not willing to take the time to really be involved in the game, period. They're very often...
Yeah, and they're not trained.
Yeah, they're relying on...
They don't know
enough
about options.
Well, they don't want to know enough about options, because again, you said it, and you're absolutely right. If you want to play that game, you're going to be involved in it daily. And I'll tell you what, life is too short for me to care about that stuff. I won't do it.
I'll do it for somebody could do it for you.
Well, yes. And then you're talking about the trust level, and we know where that is. That can be very interesting depending on, who you're getting. I'm not saying that everybody's Bernie Madoff, but nobody's going to
mind
money like you do.
Somebody to sit at the computer and make the trades for you.
Yeah, I know.
They don't have...
But it's not. It's not. It's not as easy as you'd think, far as that goes. It just isn't.
Well, I know. Yeah.
It'd be nice if it was, and you can intellectually know all of this. But if you are really going to start that level of investing, then you are going to invest your time more than anything else. You are investing your time, and my time is too precious for that.
Well, I'm not so. Taleb says that he had a lot of time when he was trading.
Yeah,
of extra time.
Well, I understand that. You're saying when he goes trading. I never want to go trading.
Okay. So, and he's a writer. He wrote his book while he was trading.
Yes.
So yes, I think
Absolutely, and of course there's a number of things he's done since then, and it is an interesting book. And for people who are interested in that, Taleb theoretically had a network of something at one point like 69 billion. And I mean, you look at a war.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that much.
Well, supposedly. Yes.
I was thinking more like 50 to 100 million.
No, well, that's not
I don't think he was.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know.
I never heard.
Oh, I absolutely. You can even see that online, by the way, if you look at it. But do I know that it's true? Hell no, I don't know that it's true.
Did you read Fooled by Randomness? Because the Black Swan, he said, was Fooled by Randomness rewritten.
Right. Right.
So actually, I prefer the Fooled by Randomness.
Right.
And
those books, The Hidden Role of Change, that's available. I don't know if you can see it online, but you certainly can buy it cheaply on Amazon. So for people who are, that came out, I don't know, before 2008, like 2004 or something, I think.
I got an audiobook off the internet. I just listened to it.
Yeah,
so
that's fine. You can absolutely do that. And if you're so inclined.
I think I probably listened to it about 10 or 20 times.
Yeah.
So, because
yeah,
I
that's great.
Pick up little things I miss. And
If it interests you, more power to you.
Well, it's a big help. I mean,
that's
it
great.
Will prevent a lot of people from losing their fortune. And these guys that lose their fortune, and their finance professors, and they run a hedge fund and they lose, and their hedge fund goes broke, they should lose their job as finance professor.
Well, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But, you know, those who can't,
but
very often those who cannot teach. You know, that's how that works. So a lot of fields, you don't have professionals in the field doing the teaching. So sure.
Yeah.
I would agree. I wouldn't just use the bell curve. And that was his first real mantra was that. And I would agree with him on that. But I still say, if you want to do this, you have to be willing to invest a portion of your time into overseeing it and into knowing what you're doing. Now, as far as...
It's fun.
Well, for some
it's
people.
It's fun to do.
Again, for some people, not everybody. Everybody's...
Why do you think women are less traders than men are?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how true that is. Today there's both. But, of course, historically, all professions were male dominant. But, we could get into psychological diatribes that matter not. I think the thing to watch, and I don't see enough people really railing on about this, is the level of debt inherent, even in every company that's there on the NYSE. You look at the mania towards consolidation, you know, where instead of one department, you know, instead of 20 department stores, there's two, you know, things like that, or grocery stores or banks or whatever, you name it. And all this is fueled by debt. And, you know, it's a long time coming. I think when the LBOs happened in Reagan's years, we were really looking at a point when you really didn't need any assets. You could use the assets you were buying as collateral against them. And that was a fascinating little thing. And then, of course, that was the Reagan years, and I'm an equal opportunity basher. In the Clinton years, you had the wonder of treating derivatives as rated as their underlying document. So suddenly you had some of the riskiest mortgages derivatives, and they were rated AAA because the underlying document was the mortgage, you know, situation. So there are so many things, but today where we are is debt is king. And I do not think that is so good. And I think everybody, and you know, I'm in danger of getting into a political discussion, which I do not want to have, because we don't do that on this show ever. But I think
but
those,
we are headed. Yeah. Don't be surprised if we have a crash.
Well,
here in the market.
I not only wouldn't be surprised, I expect it.
But you don't know when.
Well, of course not. If we knew when, my God, I wouldn't be on the radio. I'd be out making the money. Of course, come on, be real.
Yeah.
But
you ever tried trading?
I don't like it. I have no interest in it.
Have you tried it?
No,
how do you know if you like it if you don't?
No. I don't get involved in those kind of things. You got to understand, I have absolutely no ambition as a human being. My ambition in life is to just have a good time. And so I got into radio because there was no heavy lifting and, you know, you don't really need to know anything. So you got the wrong person for that. And my wisdom is I know that about me. So there you are. But for people who like it, and I know a lot of people, and I've had people in my life who do that. Bob Price was a good friend, and for years he was a big shot at Lazare Frey, and then, of course, went into radio. That was a mistake. But nonetheless, he had fun. I know. I'll never forget it. This was the early 80s, and I was complaining about something about interest rates or whatever, and I forget who he got on the phone, but it was someone big at the Federal Reserve, and said, talk to him. I'm like, oh, God. God, I don't get involved with any of that. If you enjoy it, go for it.
Do you like mathematical analysis?
Not particularly.
That part of it.
Not particularly. Okay. And I don't mind doing it. You know, I mean, fun with numbers, sure. That's not anything serious, you know. I don't think I got too much past vectors and matrices when I said, I don't really like math that much. But so anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so it's algebra and trigonometry, right?
Right. What I said long after school is I said, damn, I should have paid more attention of geometry when I'm trying to pack all this into the back of a Corvette.
I don't really know why anybody needs geometry. I didn't say you don't. I just don't know why.
A few good angles now and then doesn't hurt anybody. But anyhow, I'll let you go with that. And and thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad I called, and thank you for your help. Bye.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon, I hope. Call me back. All right, so that was excellent. 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. And most apologetic for boring you with something that bordered on something important. But God knows, none of it's important to me. All right, 888-876-5593. We got Jan in Dallas. Johnny in Austin. All right, and we'll also talk about what's coming up this Sunday night. And John in Covington. And yes, of course, we'll talk about Gary. He's been on my mind all day. So yes, the sad passing of Gary Burbank. And you know, I had planned, because I've known for a while that this was coming, that we would start, you know, doing a tribute show and some of my favorite bits, and I've got so many. But I also mentioned that we were moving locations. I had four locations in the city, and I wanted to get it down to three. But to do that, I had to get everything out of that fourth. Oh man, and this was the week that it all had to go. So what all that is to say, the Gary Burbank reel-to-reels and cassettes are in a box somewhere, and there are over 1,000 boxes, and you know what's coming, don't you? I didn't label the boxes. All right, so it may be a little while, but we'll get to that on WGN Radio.
How do I say goodbye to what we had? The good times. So hard to say goodbye to yesterday. I don't know where this road is going to lead. All I know.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, Boys to Men. There was Linda in Richland Park who said, play that. 1991 on Motown, and happy to do it. All right, so we're going to get to Jan and to John and to Johnny, but oh my dear God, this is like too good to be true. You know, I told you I've been in this funk after Carol Ford dying and now Gary Burbank. I've been somewhat inconsolable, but you've heard me tell this story many times, how I was listening late at night. I was living on, like the 13th floor of a building in Wincote, Pennsylvania, and I'm listening to my favorite oldies show, and I couldn't get it in very well because it was WHAT, and it did not have a good nighttime signal. But and there I am, and then this record comes on, and I hadn't heard it in years. And it's like, oh, my God, this is too good to be true. And, send my baby back. And so there I am, and I'm leaning over the railing. Well, you know the long story is, of course, the radio bit the dust. I almost went down with it. But here's the deal. The person I was listening to at the time was Allie Hackett. And Allie gave me a shirt. I still have it. King of the oldies. Haven't talked to him in over 20 years, and he's joining us. So, Allie, welcome to WGN Radio. Thank you for calling.
Hello, my love. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm hanging in there with both hands very tightly, scared to let go.
I love it. I'm so glad you're still with us. This is like the best news ever.
Thank you so much. Tracy called me and said, guess where Raleigh is? I said, where? He said, she's in Chicago. So I said, give me a number. I got a call. I just got off the air. Just got off the radio.
That's
so I
great.
Said I would wait until I got off to give you a call.
This is just great. I am delighted. I wear your shirt all the time. And so
I remember
what fun we had that night with Barbara Mason and me. And
yes.
It was just great. It was one of my favorite nights. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, I know that you're on the air.
That doesn't matter.
You're tickling that.
Don't worry about that.
But I called because I wanted to recontact with you, get your information, and start listening to you, and also have you in on my podcast if you consider doing that.
Oh, sure. I'd love to. Did you give John your email address?
No, I did
okay,
not.
Okay. Well,
I can give him,
all
that information.
Yeah, I will have you hold on when we're done talking and give him the email address, and then I'll send you an email. And if you don't hear from me within 24 hours, it means you didn't get the email. Some people don't for some reason. I'm considered to be spam. I'm not sure why. But but I am just so glad you are still doing this. This is great.
Thank you so much.
Because
I'm glad that you are too, and I found you. I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, because unfortunately, as you know, we've lost so many people, whether it's Blavitt or Mr. Lee or everybody else,
right,
and it's like
right,
one by
right.
one. And now, as you know, you'll remember, of course, why can't I think of his name right now, but we just lost him from VLT recently. Corky's Time Machine.
Corky
and Mrs. Corky are both gone.
And Miss Bright.
Yeah.
Right, both of them. Both
broke my heart.
D.D. Sharp called me and told me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because she used to go to the Labor Day barbecues, of course.
Same here. Yeah.
All right.
Here. We went to the last ones. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, Val Shively went too.
Oh, God. Yeah.
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 Yeah, I still
man,
keep up with Val from time to time, and I always threaten him. I say, you better stay alive, Val. It's 5,000,045s. I don't want them falling into the wrong hands. So, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Man, this is so good to talk to you. It really, really is.
Absolutely.
Really is. I couldn't wait there for 12 o'clock to come for me to get off so I could call you.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's so nice.
Well, hang on.
We're
going to stay in touch, and I want you to join me some night. We'll talk Philly oldies.
Oh, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful.
All right. Well, good deal. Well, hang on. Don't go away. All right.
Okay, sweetie.
So you betcha. No, King of the Oldies, and boy, he means it. Like I said, I was listening to the HAT stuff, but also TNJ and SSJ and VLT, of course, I mentioned that, and PEB. You betcha. So that's just wonderful. Can't wait to talk with him again. So I'm going to put Allie on hold here and not lose him. All right. Ah, I've done it. And John will get the information, and yeah. And WRTR, Remember Then Radio, the soundtrack of our lives, and so much more. All right, so that actually brightened my day. It really did. It's been a funk all the way around, and hearing from Ali Hackett is just terrific. But yeah, there I was, sending my baby. I'll have to play that next in case you haven't heard it. You'll see the record that I almost went down to my death on, but did lose the radio. All right, so John in Covington, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi there, Raleigh. I just had to call, obviously, for the way I felt about Gary Burbank. But when I think of Gary Burbank, somebody on WLW said that I can't take credit for it. But the first thing you think of is genius, okay? And then the second thing you think of is, the second thing I think of is there's a handful of people that I know, they're either famous or they're in my life somehow or what have you. There's a handful of people that the mere mention of their name makes you smile.
Yeah.
Gary Burbank's one of those.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I just thought the world of Gary. And like I say, I'm beating myself up now for all the missed opportunities. But we stayed in reasonable touch, but not nearly as much as I'd like. So
I'll tell you very quickly. He did this. He called Johnson and Johnson as the character Gilbert Marley.
Yeah, from the Pia Zadora Golden Buckeye Retirement Home.
Now, are you familiar with the bit where?
No. I mean,
okay, all right. He calls it Kentucky Jelly.
No, I did hear that. Absolutely, I know that bit. And I have that on tape, the KY Jelly, absolutely.
And he says I'd really like it. It might taste better.
Exactly.
If it was in a jar.
But, I think the classic bit, the one that I thought was just wonderful, was I don't remember what Central American dictator it was, and God only knows how his staff got this guy on the phone, but they did. And the guy had a bad image and all that, and he said, well, you can get rid of your communist image. It's possible because Jane Fonda did it here. All you need to do is an exercise video. And so... He's telling this guy all about that, and it was just hilarious. And, of course, the guy doesn't speak much English, but, all of the bits.
He just had a mind that was just, oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. No, he was
terrific. Thank you, Raleigh.
Terrific.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. And, in fact, John was asking me earlier, because another good friend, Jack Armstrong, and he said, do you think Gary was like Jack? I said, well, in many ways, yes, but not in their beginnings, because Jack was the black sheep in his family. I mean, his father was like the world's leading parasitologist and on the staff at Duke University and all that. His mother was a big deal, too, there in nursing or whatever, and here's Jack, who's barely getting out of high school. On the other hand, here's Billy Purser Jr., who becomes Gary Burbank, of course, in Memphis, literally on the streets, and drumming for Stax as a teen, and very very different upbringings, but both wonderful people. And of course, in Louisville, this was not while I was there. This was after I left. When he came back, and he was at WHAS doing afternoons. He was the number one afternoon personality, and after a few years, with tears in his eyes, the general manager said, I've got to fire you. And what happened was that Gary had told them many times, I cannot work with this type of a commercial load. And they wouldn't listen. So Gary took matters into his own hands. It was literally a couple years before anybody realized that he wasn't playing half the commercials. He'd just log them off and not play them. And so, the manager said, I don't want to fire you, but I got no choice here. And it turned out to be, very good for him, because ultimately he wound up at WLW. And I'm so glad he went there, because I remember that was around 1980, 81 maybe. And we were talking, and he was actually thinking about San Diego. And I was in L.A. at the time, so I was over the moon. I said, I don't know. I think you need to stay in the Midwest, because his wife, Carol, his second wife, she's the reason that he had a roof over his head, literally. She was the voice of reason and kept him in line in ways that, man, that was a godsend for him. But her thing is, she never liked to live far from Mom. And so when they'd be like in New Orleans, she'd want to go back to Louisville, or when they'd be in Detroit. So, we were talking, and I said, I don't know about San Diego. I don't know how long you'd be there. And ultimately then LW came through, and the rest was history, because it was just just perfect. I mean, talk about a perfect teaming. And, you know, by then, WLW had been sold a couple times, and along the way, the guy who bought it from Charlie Murdoch, Cadillac Joe, oh, God, you don't want to know, but Joe Scallon, he fired James Francis Patrick O'Neill. And I was so hoping when WLW got back on his feet with people who knew what they were doing that they would bring back JFPO, because I think a station where JFPO did mornings and Burbank did afternoons would have, well, it was unbeatable anyway, but it just would have been over the moon wonderful. But as it was, they had Jim Scott, and he did right by Cincinnati. All right, so yes, of course, rest in peace, Gary. The stories will keep on coming. All right. We'll get to Jan and Dallas, Johnny and Austin, and you two coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Just the absolute best as far as I'm concerned. Send My Baby Back. That was originally on Wii Records, and then Wand picked it up for distribution. But that was just the best. Like I say, I almost went to my death. Instead, I just lost the radio. But I was hanging off the porch there at Cedar Brook Hill. And it was a moment there that was frightening. But it was worth it. And it was Allie Hackett who was playing it. All right, Jan in Dallas has, I think, a request. Hello, Jan, are you still with us?
Yes. I just called in to tell you what an amazing woman you are. I had to, and you and John, what you're doing together, especially this August. And then this gentleman calls in. What a treasure you are. Allie, you know?
Yeah.
The gentleman? That is so cool.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy for you, and you need so much in your life to make you happy.
yeah, absolutely. That's something I aspire to achieve, but, you know, I never have, but that's for another subject.
Oh, well, God bless you, and you have a blessed weekend.
Okay, you too. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Okay, bye. All right, so John just handed me Ali's address, and you can bet right after the show I will write him. So, all right, Johnny in Austin. Well, Johnny, go and welcome back to WGN Radio.
You got quite an array of listeners, I must say.
Yeah, now, are you a fan of Send My Baby Back? It sounds like your record.
Oh, yes. 1968. I got the one on the original green label.
Yeah,
I don't remember the name.
That's on G. That's on G. You're lucky. Because when it came out on Wand, which was the national, that's what, unfortunately, my copy's on Wand, not G. But, you know, Wand, just like Scepter, they were bottom feeders. It was all that horrible styrene, and it was like the last of the mold. I don't know. It never sounded great. But, boy, and that was out of Oakland. That was I don't know that they had any other hits, but that was a good little label. The quality was much better.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't get rid of distortion.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, you can do a lot of things with equalization, but if it's distorted and blasting, you don't have much to work with.
Yeah.
I found that on a lot of air checks, like my friend Walt Baby Love from Case. God, what? W. help me out. CKLW.
Right.
This has been, I'm going to tell you, this week has been completely out of phase in my life. It has been bizarre.
Yeah.
The whole week.
Yeah.
And it's not over yet.
No, it isn't. It isn't over yet. That's going to make Sunday night's show very interesting.
My Sunday night show?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I want to thank you for supporting the Soul of the City, was the name of the show, and I want to make it known too that if it wasn't for my friend who owns a streaming service called Houston Radio Platinum, which is a 60s, 70s, and 80s format,
yeah,
all the rest of the time, I wouldn't be able to even have the Soul of the City. So I do want to thank my friend Joey K. in Houston, Texas, for giving me the opportunity to fulfill this vision I've had for 30 years.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's wonderful. Also, for people, because we always tell them to go to soulofthecity.net, if for some reason they're not picking up the stream when they're looking for it on some of the Wi-Fi radios, look for it under HoustonRadioPlatinum.com, and as long as it's Sunday between 6 p.m. and midnight Central Time, you will hear Soul of the City.
And I'm also on that station weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 5 until 10 a.m. Central Time. Now, I'm playing regular format. It's
right.
Not complete soul. There's a lot of good soul in there, but it's a 24/7 station that's been on the air for a long time. And congratulations to my friend who has the money to keep this thing running, because I couldn't do it. I couldn't afford it. So anyway, this Sunday night show, thanks to you. And a lot of your fine listeners, I've been getting great feedback on that show.
Good, good. And you've been interspersing clips of soul jocks from back in the day.
Yeah, being that Monday's a holiday, and you might hold me over because if you have time, there's a couple other things I wanted to say.
Oh, I think, I just looked, and I blew the break. So we're in the break. So you want to hang on until after the break, and we'll be actually on the radio?
Oh, when did we get cut off?
I have no idea. But
I'll ask Gary.
Yeah, right. And we'll be back. Don't go away. Stay where you are. All right. So, sorry about that, and apologies
to
Bob.
San Francisco.
Well, what went wrong there? There are times I don't even know. Yeah, I was wanting to hear a little Royal, and I will if it's the last thing I do.
I'm not jealous because I'm mean, honey. I'm jealous because I love you. And I don't want nobody else to have you. Now, you know what? If you got someone that you really love, you don't mind standing looking that person dead in the eye and telling them you really love you. How many of you women out there that's been in love before? You know, when did you love that someone so much? There was nothing in the world that you wouldn't do for them. You cooked the food, put it on the table for them. Wash their dirty clothes. Nothing in the world that you wouldn't do for that love. But deep down in your heart, you know that someone don't care a doggone thing about you. Now you can't help but cry sometimes. But you know what? If you see them with someone else, you know you love them. You know you got to be jealous of them. Because when you love someone, you don't want nobody else to have your love. And that's why I got to stand up today, baby, and tell you something like this. You know what?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Everything is wrong with that record, which is what makes it right. Yeah, that's Royal Torrence, Little Royal, and he and Huey Moe produced it, and they produced it on the Trios label, which was a label that was located in Houston and Norfolk at the same time, with no distribution whatsoever, so they went with Starday King. But there they were on Irvington Boulevard when here was Royal Torrence, who actually was born in Durham, North Carolina, shows up on the scene. So maybe Johnny in Austin, Johnny Goen, knows more about Little Royal. Any idea?
I never met Little Royal, but I will tell you this. I was the first disc jockey in Houston to play that record on KYOK, the Big 1590.
I believe it. And I thought, well, you also were one of the first to play Garland Green's version. I'm sure Garland never envisioned this.
Well, I know it, and that's what was so bizarre about it. And I'll tell you another thing that's really quirky. I'm looking at Sunday night's playlist for The Soul of the City, and Little Royals Jealous is going to play in the first hour of the show.
Perfect.
This Sunday.
Perfect.
And I didn't have anything to do with it. That's just the way the...
Yeah.
It all shook out.
Oh, no. Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. Well, and Garland Green's Ain't That Good Enough. I'm sure you're going to play that some night, too.
Actually, that's coming up again Sunday night.
All right. Well, now you're talking.
Yeah. Well, at least maybe the end of the week will go right. This week has been absolutely the most bizarre week I've had in a long time.
Oh, man. Well, hopefully you're feeling all right.
Yep. Okay. Well, yeah. Physically, yeah.
Yeah, as good as you can, all things considered.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, good.
But anyway, I was getting ready before we went to break. Well, I was saying, you know, you got the greatest array of listeners. I thank the world of Fran and Gary and Austin. They're big listeners to the show, and of course Nick.
Yeah.
From Baltimore, he's a great guy, and Jim in New Hampshire was supposed to be on your show last week or so.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk to Jim regularly.
And this lady Linda who calls, she's a lady I could sit there and talk life and music for probably about a half a day. She's a very, very wonderful sounding lady. Linda, if you're listening, I really enjoy hearing your stories and your voice, your sense of humor, and your good taste in music.
Agreed. Linda in Richland Park.
And on the show, we got a couple of DJs this week on The Soul of the City that are Legends of Soul Radio. We got a clip of Skipper Lee, King Hot Dog from KYOK in Houston, Shelly Pope from WBUL in Birmingham, and probably some more that I can't think of right now. Have you ever heard of an artist by the name of Pepe Marquez?
Yeah, are you going to play any?
He does a lot of lowrider stuff. And if you've ever seen any of his videos, they are magnificent. They are beautiful videos.
It's Thump Records does him, and they're a little East L.A. label that does all sorts of things.
He did a great version of I Want a Love I Can See. He calls it A Love I Can See that the Temptations did.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And then he did another one that's called Old School Medley.
Right.
And that is really nice. I can't think of all the songs that he blends together, but the videos and the music that this guy puts out, Pepe Marquez, is really good. It's East L.A. sounding stuff.
Yeah, he does a rendition of Give Me a Little Sign and You Got the Makings of a Lover and all sorts of things. So, yeah.
Another one, Be Thankful for What You Got, is another one he's done.
Yeah, right.
But this medley is really pretty, and that's going to play on Sunday night,
too. Oh, good.
Too.
I don't know if I've heard the medley. I've heard almost all the stuff he did, but I'm gonna pull this. I just looked it up. An old school medley he did in 2023, so that's probably why I don't know. But I know it was earlier stuff. But yeah, Thump Records, they have all sorts of neat things.
Oh, they always have. I didn't even know they still existed.
Yep.
By the way, thank you for playing Send Me No Flowers for me the other night.
Oh,
I thought you had forgotten about it.
No, it just takes me a while.
Another thing, whenever I call you, I take notes here. Could you play for me Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, If Your Mother Only Knew?
Okay, sure.
I love that one.
Okay.
I'm very sorry to hear about your friend Carol Ford.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you mention over the years of Carol, and I had no idea anything about her background whatsoever.
Yeah.
So after I heard about her leaving us, I went back and listened to some of her radio work. She was quite good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was a killer. No doubt about that.
But I never made the connection there.
Yeah.
With you. No, I didn't. I had no idea. I'd never heard of her, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, you wouldn't, your paths wouldn't have crossed because, you know, if you were in Ohio or Indiana or California, you know, or New York, you would have. But, you know, she did absolutely nothing in Texas. So there's that. Like I was saying, there's another gal, I don't know her, named Carol Ford, who does a midday show in Orlando. And I ran,
you mentioned that,
yeah,
I heard. Yes.
I ran across her online and I told Carol about it. And we both looked at her and said, huh. How about that? So, but neither of us knew anything about her, and whether or not
tell me about this.
What?
Tell me about this gentleman that just called by the name of Allie Hackett.
Oh, Allie was just great.
Was he a jock back then?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, that night that Barbara Mason and I were on with him for a whole night.
Oh, I didn't know anything about this. Yeah. I know, and I never heard of Allie before, but he sounded like a very nice guy.
Yeah.
And he was on the air back in 68 when Freddie Hughes was doing Send My Baby Back.
Yeah, and I don't know if he was actually when it was current or not, because I think he's a little younger than us. I think he graduated high school in 71, actually.
Everybody's younger than us.
Well, you're right. Yeah, absolutely, isn't that the truth? If they're alive, they're younger than us. Yeah, it's true. But that said, he worked a number of the Philly stations, you know, like I say, WHAT, I love that, but several VLT in Vineland, a number of stations. And he did a lot of, you know, putting concerts together and personal appearances and all that. And Allie Hackett Presents, I mean, a ton of stuff. Yeah.
I would like to talk to him myself sometime if it's possible.
I don't see why not. Yeah, he probably has some old air checks too, which would be good.
I'd love to feature some of them.
Yeah.
I'm still collecting these, and it takes a lot of work to clip them up and get them presentable. And I'm working on one of a Walt Baby Love right now from CKLW, and it's so distorted, I don't know if I'm even going to use it. But
well, have you got? I think there's other Walt Baby Loves online. You might be able to pull a better air check.
I'm working on them. I got a whole bunch of Jocko Henderson, and I got to edit them up and get them in there. But thanks to you, you know, the listenership grows every week on the Soul of the City .net.
That's great.
And when you did mention something, you know, this runs on a service called Live 365. The mothership station, of course, is HoustonRadioPlatinum.com.
Right.
But if you go to one of these other providers, it's all over the internet. I can't think of any of the names of them, but there's all these services that provide streams of these stations.
Oh, of course.
You can hear that station, Houston Radio Platinum, all over the world, where if you go onto their site, there are certain countries you cannot hear it in.
Right, because they geofence it.
Yes, but if you go to some of these other sites online, and I wish I could think of them, isn't there one called Radio Garden or something? There's a slew of them.
Right.
If you go into those and you're in another country, come right in. You can get it anywhere.
Right. Well, right. You're 100% right. If you're trying to save on bandwidth, you might want to geofence it outside the U.S. But, you know, when you're paying the sound exchange rights, you don't have to pay for anybody outside the U.S., so there's no mileage in geofencing it for that reason.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Well, it seems like from what I know and from what my friend Joey does in Houston, going with Live 365, that's the only stream provider I know of that puts all those fees into your streaming service.
Right. Oh, there are others, but yes, that's certainly one that's fairly common. But there are others. Sure, if he wants to do it that way, he can. But for people who are even doing it themselves, again, what's not in United States, that's not subject to sound exchange royalty.
Right. Explain that again, please. I'm sorry.
Okay. Firstly, everybody knows royalties like BMI or ASCAP or CSAC.
Yes.
Or now GMR, unfortunately.
I got that. Okay.
Right. All right. Well, that pays, and it always has, the publisher and the writer. And, of course, right. that goes back to when they were selling sheet music, and that's still true to that day. So when you play something on the radio, that's subject to those royalties. The publisher is paid, and he's supposed to pay the writer, and it's a actual scale of how much they get. Well, so years ago, a lot of people started making noise with Congress saying, you know, the artists don't get paid. Now, of course, the artists get paid by virtue of their deal with the label, but we all know where that can go. And so Congress years ago came up with the concept of Sound Exchange, where any of the online royalties or any of that, any of the music, the only thing exempt is AM and FM radio. That does not pay Sound Exchange royalties. But the deal is the people that get paid are the artists of record and the label of record. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, well, and see, with our music, though, you can see the problem. If they can find some of the labels, let them try to find G Records. You know, good luck on that. But anyway, that's all they pay. And if you are a terrestrial broadcaster, you're not paying for what you do on the radio. But if you're also streaming, you are paying for your streaming. Now, this is only subject to listeners in the United States of America. Again, this is congressionally mandated. And so, and every 5 years they rewrite the amounts, and they're doing that right now. And this is important because the big guys can always go in there and have a bunch of lawyers and all that and lobby. But the little guy, the guy who's playing, you know, accordion music in Marquette, he doesn't have the ability to lobby. So very often when the 5 years rolls around, the little guy is taking it in the shorts to where he can't afford to stream anymore. So fortunately this year I am seeing an uptick in people talking about, hey, the little guy needs to let Congress know, because Congress did not come up with this to try and stop somebody, like I say, from playing their accordion favorites that's never going to sell a copy to anybody. You know, it's not about that. It's about hit records, obviously. So that,
so what is the price of Sound Exchange?
Well, it's not that. There's a minimum. If you're a radio station, if you're AM or FM, there's a minimum per station of $1,000. But
a year.
Yes, per station. But on top of that, you have to do reporting. And the reporting is very arcane, because they do have a small market, you know, a small provider, a recording, but they do it as something called average tuning hours, and the average person will never be able to compute this. It's virtually impossible. So there's a lot of things that are wrong with the way it reported, and of course, there again, the hobbyist gets basically kicked off the spectrum, because he's not going to be able to pay it. There's special deals.
That's already happened several years
ago. Well, every 5 years, when the new rates come in.
Do you have a break to do right now?
I probably should. Thank you. We'll do the break and come back right after this on WGN Radio.
In the world, you can bet on that. Ain't here. It's putting nobody down, but pound for pound, I'm the best around. I'm the middleweight champ at 163. You gotta be bad to hang with me. You gotta rock it with the jocker like a boot on the dock, a pop a dock and do the boogaloo too. Ooh, pop a doo, bang a lang a loo. I got tons and tons of fun for you. Ooh, pop a docker, papa got a shocker, papa got the rocker, mama good. Gotta rock around the locker, mama jam, papa cocker, bang the boom, tang, tang, real good. Eat it, yuck, this is the jock in the back on the scene with the rap machine. Said, dip, dip, bam, check, got this bad jam. Got to holler mighty loud and clear, party is over here. Do it on the sofa, do it on the chair, do it on the roof, it's good up there. Do it in the kitchen, do it in the hall, do it in the closet, up against the wall. Shake your buns by the tons, to the beat the drums, turn your boom tang loose and have big fun. Great! Booga with a booga super booga. This is the jock and I'm talking to you. What I got should be against the law. I can suck it to you, mama, make you scream for more. Sex is rated me double X. After you, mama, your sister's next. I make your knees freeze, back crack, liver quiver, you like it like that. I'm the ace from outer space, the boss bun shaker any place. I got a big bad radar beam, guaranteed to make you scream. I'm clean, it's the ball of health, ain't got the dime. time, but I represent Ralph. I got fine vines hanging on the line. Gucci made my boots. Ollie Cassini and Bill Blass stitched my three-piece suits. My underwear, let me make this clear, is estimated to a T. Everything, baby, looks so good on me. Take a look, take a look. Bad enough to be in the history books. Bumped by the gun to the rubber dum dum. Check out where I'm coming from. When I was born, they took a look at me. They said, good God, you see what I see? Called all the nurses and the doctors too. They all agreed this can't be true. Mama was shocked, Papa was proud. Screamed so loud, he drew a crowd. My baby's a man, can you understand? My baby's a man, can you understand? The years went by and they showed it fly. And I was grown before I knew it. I lined the girls up on the wall, tried to get to them all, but one of them said, I blew it. She said, you're gonna take time when I've been in the line, so come back here and do it. Taco, Taco, you're the king. Best in the world when I do my thing.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1979, Rhythm Talk on Philadelphia International. That's Jocko Henderson. All right, Johnny Goen, we're talking to, who's keeping me in line here. But I got the news. Oh, wait, we just went directly into the news, actually, Johnny, so hang on.
Hi, this is Huggy Boy. This is going out to all the homies on a Sunday afternoon.
On a Sunday afternoon, me and the crew just jamming the oldie tune, sipping on a cold bottle of brewski. Gave over a swig, he passed it back to me. Right about then, up came some other homies, Micah, Eli, PJ, Smooth, Phil, and Larry. Busted off the ice chest, Phil popped the cooler. Eli and Pete drunk brew, nothing better to do. Micah's cup, yo, was filled with bird. J Smooth had a cold glass too, you know it. Word, girls at the picnic mess preparing the food. The sky was clear and the weather was cool. Kids at the playground playing on the merry-go-rounds. All the cars cruising, bumping their funky sound. Cause it's Sunday, last day for a fun day. Back to business as usual come Monday. At the park, everything went real smooth on a Sunday afternoon.
We were chilling in the park, just waiting for the sun to go down. It was me, Shiro, and the homies, a lighter shade of brown.
I said, chill. All the bottles in the park stay ill. Playing horseshoes to win a bill. I'm trying to start the lampin' on the grill. So now we eat. The cops cruise by looking for the booze. But what Ruben had was plain and simply apple juice. Coming up short, just like a fool. I'm back to his car with nothing he could do. All the cars in the parking lot, low profile. And everywhere you look, you see somebody styling. Cars with lists rolling deep with booming sound. It's a good time to cruise around in the parking lot where the brownies were stacking, and all the vatos were looking for some action.
We were chilling in the park.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. All right, lighter shade of brown, talking about East LA, Riverside, actually. And we're talking to Johnny Goen. All right, so we had some rapping there in the middle.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did. That Jocko Henderson song I'd never heard before.
Oh, Philadelphia International released it in 1979.
What was the name of it?
Rap and Talk.
And who did it?
Jocko Henderson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's Jocko.
What's
interesting about that, that was Jocko, typical Jocko. That's exactly what he sounded like. But he did that in 79, and he wound up doing like a school assembly type thing in one of the inner city schools in Philadelphia around 83 or so. And he was stunned because these junior high school kids said, do your record, you know. So what was funny was when he was doing it, because of course he memorized it, no doubt about it, but he was absolutely stunned to notice that all those kids knew all the words. And at that point, and remember, Jocko's father was head of the Department of Education in Baltimore, and so very, very literate background. He thought, well, wait a minute. If they can remember all the words to Rap and Talk, what if we set history or other school subjects to rap? And he started a company called Get Ready. And in 1984, they started putting out cassettes that some of the school systems used for a few years.
No, I knew nothing about that. But I'll tell you what, I found some of his old air checks, and He was quite good. I tell you who I'm having a hard time finding some good material on is Herb Kent.
The cool gent, of course. But for a moment, I got to say one thing. Jocko was good, but he was not the originator of that. He learned it, and he learned it from Hot Rod Hulbert. So that's the guy you want to find. Hot Rod Hulbert had been in Memphis, and then he got hired in Baltimore at WSID 1010, and that's where he worked with Jocko. But if you can find some Hot Rod Hulbert, that's the stuff to have.
I'm working on it right now. I'm doing my best to get it all done. And as the weeks go by, I get more listeners and more feedback.
Sure.
To soulofthecity.net. It's 6 p.m. to midnight Sunday night.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you putting the link on your blog. That's very nice. You also have a Facebook page. It's a fan page of Raleigh James.
I don't do Facebook. So
well, somebody's done it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right. That's right. No, and I know John a while ago put a professional page, and I said, don't use that. And so
I think Soraya did this.
I don't know who did, but I'm aware that it exists, but I don't get to see it because I don't do Facebook. Just like when I was putting things on the boards for Carol's passing, I had to ask friends to post it because I just don't do that stuff.
I don't do Facebook either.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't do social media. And
I don't either.
So that's nice that people do, and I'm very pleased, but I'm not part of it.
No, I'm not either. Never have been.
Yeah. So anyway. Hot Rod, he was the one who first the rocket ship. That was his as well. It was commander of the Hot Rod and the rocket ship.
So he did the original rocket ship?
Yes, I'm telling you that Jocko got it from Hot Rod.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's the person that... And he admitted it. I mean, it wasn't anything like he took it and took credit for it. He absolutely admitted it. And for a while, Hot Rod also worked at WITH in Baltimore, the only station I know that sold low power as an advantage. Yeah, I meant to put that in my book, and I never did, but they did. They said, why pay for all that coverage you don't need? Hot Rod was absolutely the deal. He made it to about 80. He was around for a while, sadly, he's been, I think, gone since about 96. So, yeah, that's the guy, and I don't know where you'd find air checks of him, but that's the one you want to find.
I can try. I found some good stuff on, what was his name, Al Benson?
Sure. You're talking about Al Lehner, of course, yeah, who had to change.
Well, anyway, he called himself Al Benson.
Yeah, of course.
He was on that at the Chicago station. What was it, WG something?
GES.
Yes. And it was from about the 50s sometime. And it's the quality's quite good on it.
Yeah.
And, he plays some real old stuff. He played a Ruth Brown and couple of other stuff that was really good, you know. So, and then he was endorsing some product or supermarket or something.
Well, right. No, I mean, that was it. He bought the time and resold it, and that's why he changed his name, because when he was Lehner, he was a preacher, and they said, you're not going to sell time as a preacher. You're not going to sell commercials. So that's why he did that. And his nephews the Lehners were, you know, record royalty in Chicago. And distributors and labels. I mean, wonderful. What a wonderful label that was. You know, ONE-derful and Marvelous and a bunch of other stuff. So, yeah, the Lehners are truly royalty.
So he just picked the name Al Benson.
He just
picked that out of the... Yeah,
right.
So he was Al Benson later? Is that
Oh, yeah,
correct?
Right, because he was on the air as Al Lehner Jr., and he was, doing the religious show, and they said, no, if you're going to sell commercial time, it can't be religious, so he changed his name.
Were they having producers do that
You know, these are stations like when Sonderling put on his first station, we talked about that, I think, last time, WOPA and all that. These were dollar-a-holler stations. You know, most of the time, they had been foreign language. And, in fact, in some cases, like when WOPA started to go more and more R&B, people complained because they were losing their Polish hour and things like that.
Oh, okay.
And So, Al Benson, your old swing master, and he was terrific, and
he was very, very different. He had a very announcerish voice,
yeah.
And he sounded old. He sounded like I think he played Old Man River on there,
yeah.
Too.
He wasn't young.
I know how that feels.
Yeah. But yeah. He certainly wasn't a kid.
Interesting. I think
was close to 40 when he was on GES, because I think he was born, if not at the turn of the 1900s, before 1910. That was the deal there, and he was born in Jackson, Mississippi. Just terrific. So yeah, I don't know why he picked Al Benson. You know, no one ever asked me that before, and maybe somebody listening knows, because I don't know why. But his name was Arthur Bernard Lehner. That was the deal, and so. Yeah, he was on GES, and then the old swing master. He was popular. He was on JJD, and I think by the end of the 40s, he was like considered the most popular jock in the city. And you know, he had the legendary, like a lot of jocks do, mayor of Bronzeville in this case. You know, like a part of town, and he always won that when they'd have it. There wasn't a Bronzeville is an area, but it's not like it's incorporated in anything. But everybody, you know, as far as that goes, thought the world of him, no doubt about it. And he was involved with record labels, with Parrot and some other things, you know, he was. So he had a lot of, his nephews, I think that was United Distributors, soul music would not have been the same without the Lehners.
I got something, too, on Hunter Hancock, his intro.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he was big. I'm collecting a mass of this stuff and breaking them up and having a few quick segments of what these legends sound like. And of course, a lot of them there is no audio. It's only memories. That doesn't exist.
Right. Well, part of the problem, of course, if they were on before the mid-50s, we're not even looking at tape that we know it.
I know.
So there was little. I mean, there was paper tape, but, you know, that didn't really survive.
No.
But, so initially it was reel-to-reel, and most people didn't keep those. And there's a shocking lack of any of that, sadly. And so, Hunter Hancock, of course, white guy on a soul station. And he launched an R&B show in the 40s. And while it was still, Race Records, I think his show on the radio was Harlem Matinee or something.
It was Harlem something.
You're right, exactly. And then they gave him that little TV show, and that was around the mid-50s. And, of course, I've mentioned this many times, and I don't have the answer. Los Angeles Independent Television, for whatever reason, in the early 50s, had more country and western shows than you can imagine. I mean, it was like tons of it. But in the middle of it, they had Rhythm and Bluesville, and that was Hunter Hancock. And so that was pretty good. But again, that lasted about a year. And Hunting with Hunter, though, on KG.
I got all that.
Right.
There's a lot of that out there.
Like all those guys, he would do the live concerts and bring people to town at the Olympic or the Orpheum or all that. And L.A. to its credit, was never a problem. They were very mixed audiences, and no one said boo. You know, it was perfectly fine. And so there, and then
I'll tell you what, I found an interesting little promo from, maybe I told you, this Lowell Fulsom for Hotsy Totsy on KYOK.
That's great. There's a combination.
And then I've got this interview with Jackie Wilson. I asked him, Jackie, of all the songs you ever did, what was your favorite song that you've ever recorded?
What did he say?
Danny Boy.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't really care for it, Jackie.
Well, you know, the thing with Jackie Wilson, a lot of people liked his ballads. You know, as Val Shively always says, his operatic stuff. But
Night.
Right. I didn't like any of that, but I loved his up-tempo stuff. And there are so many wonderful Jackie Wilson records that nobody plays.
I play them all.
Yeah, they're all just wonderful. The other night I played a Laverne Baker version of one of his songs, and that was...
Really? I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, let me find that here. I could probably look it up, but it's probably easier just try to pull it off the computer. I was surprised because she did it like a month after him, and I thought it was a terrific record. And of course, it went. If I could type, then and if I could see, both of those things would help me find things online. But
yeah.
neither of which are much of a reality for me. But let's see what we got here. Because it surprised me. Because usually I'm playing things like Fee Fi Fo Fum or Bop Ting Ling or all that, or you know, Saved. Or but no, this was.
I'll tell you a song that I heard that was on Chess. And I thought Mitty Collier's version was terrible compared to Carl Henderson, and the song was called Sharing You.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I like Mitty Collier. I love Mitty Collier.
Right, right. I had a talk with my man last night. Yeah.
And that one she did, oh my gosh, what was it? The up-tempo thing? My Babe.
Oh, right, right. And
I love it.
But let me find this, because if you haven't heard it, I want you to hear it. But I gotta find it here, which is sometimes a problem. So let's, you know, because lately I just can't see anything. But anyway, It's So Fine. Her version of It's So Fine.
I never heard it.
You've heard Jackie's, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, here, and you know, when I first came across this, because it came out probably a month after Jackie, I thought, this is going to be a train wreck, you know, because I just couldn't imagine it, and it's not. Choo-choo-pop.
But it's so fine, yeah, 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 it's so fine, ha ha. But it's so fine, yeah, 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 yeah. Brr, baba bebop, brr, baba bebop, brr, baba splitty ootin' dow to be with you.
I think she does them proud.
You stay out all.
Really?
Yeah.
That had some Marie Petite in there.
Yeah, yeah. And that was 1958, and that was Atlantic. Yeah, and...
No, I never heard that before.
It's interesting, because it was a simultaneous cover of Jackie Wilson, and, of course, Berry Gordy co-wrote it. So there's your Reed Petite connection, too. So, yeah.
And by the way, Jackie Wilson spoke very highly of Berry Gordy Jr., and he said that he really treasured his days with Billy Ward and the Dominoes.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what. I've never heard an interview with Berry Gordy where he doesn't think that Jackie Wilson is the greatest male singer of all time.
So. And how come then Jackie Wilson was never on Berry Gordy's labels?
Well, Jackie started a little earlier, for one thing, and then it just never came together. You know, remember when, like, Reed Petite and all this, this is before Motown Corporation, Tamla and all that had formed. So, you know, you got a guy who was doing things a few years before, so I think that's why, more than anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff out there that's really good, and I thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, absolutely.
I thank you for the help on promoting my radio show, and I think that if your listeners will give it a try Sunday night, they might like it.
I know they will. Soulofthecity.net from 6 to midnight.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Johnny.
You have a great weekend, okay? You'll be
too.
On the air Monday night?
I absolutely will. Labor Day? Yeah, that'll be the 5th anniversary of doing this particular shift.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Okay,
good
thanks.
Weekend to you.
All right.
And be mellow. All right.
You
bye.
Too. Yeah, all right. So absolutely we'll be here Monday. I got to go to Tucson tomorrow for a few days, and then we'll drive back Monday in time for the show, and you can bet I will be here and looking forward to it. I don't remember if I'm supposed to do anything else, so I'm going to assume I am, and we'll be back right after this on WGN Radio.
Hi, baby. I wanted to just say two things real quick. One, that I sent the information to you for tomorrow night. Tomorrow night on my podcast, I've got Glenn Leonard Jr., son of Glenn Leonard Sr., who was with the Temptations.
Yes.
So you might want to check that out.
I do want to check this out.
Okay, it's on YouTube at 8:55 p.m. Just go to YouTube and Ollie Hackett. You'll be able to see us.
Okay. All right.
Secondly, the gentleman that was just talking about Jackie Wilson,
yeah.
I don't know if you've heard this cut, but check out the song. It's called, I just forgot it that quickly.
Oh, no.
I just forgot it that quickly. Unbelievable.
Well, that's all right.
Oh, man, I can't believe it.
Well, don't.
I just forgot it.
Do not worry about it, because we'll have plenty of time to think about it, because you'll be on the air hopefully with me soon.
Unbelievable. I just had it in my mind to tell you.
Believe me, I understand
that. Oh, man, that is crazy.
No, absolutely.
Those heartaches.
All right.
It's those heartaches. Those heartaches.
Yes, okay. Yes, absolutely.
That is a great, great song. And his son didn't even know about it. I told him about it, Bobby.
Yeah.
I told Bobby, I said, Bobby, you got to put this in your repertoire to get singing. Those Heartaches is
yes.
the name of the song.
Yes, so, absolutely. Y'all play it next
gotta
week.
Check it out.
All right, thanks.
Okay, sweetie.
Appreciate it. Okay,
have
bye.
Have a good one.
You too.
Talk to you.
All right,
bye-bye.
So I've got about a minute, and that minute, let's see, I believe Stacy's been hanging on for quite a while. So, Stacy, welcome back to WGN Radio, and have a good weekend, I guess. We lost Stacy. All right. Well, I hope she does have a good weekend. And let's see, Robert had a request, I do believe. All right, Robert, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. You know what? I have a couple of Jackie Wilsons for you for next week, too.
Okay.
That Is Why I Love You So, I think was the title.
Right.
And You Better Know It.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and then, could I get one more request? Then?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, I think this was Smokey Robinson. What's So Good About Goodbye?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, I'll do it.
Okay, great.
All right,
okay.
Good deal. Thanks. Yeah, appreciate
thanks.
It. All right, so trying to write this down and realizing that we have no time. I'm so sorry. I apologize to Chris, to David, to James, and to you. But, hey, next live show is Monday. We'll do trivia, Monday night trivia, and then next week full shows. So until then, that's a wrap for live shows. However, replay tomorrow night of trivia. We thank Bob for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. It's what makes the show a pleasure to do. Talk to you live on Monday. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.